I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew 23, the Lord is trying to work with the Pharisees and get them to see the love that He has for them. But the sad thing is that they've rejected Him. And in Matthew 23, we hear the cry of a broken heart. Sometimes we wonder, well, why would Christ even cry over them? Doesn't He have all power and authority? Doesn't He have the ability to do whatever He wants? In fact, if you remember at a time that Israel rejected God and was fighting against Moses, that God even came to Moses and said, I'm just going to wipe all these people out and I'm going to start all over again with you. What did Moses say? Oh no, don't do that, God, because your name, your reputation is at stake here. Now, was Moses calling God down? No. No, he was not. But he was appealing to God's mercy. He was appealing to God's love and compassion in a moment that Israel deserved judgment. Sometimes we think that, well, then was God out of control? No, God wasn't out of control. God was going to exercise just judgment. But the very same way that King David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, and then he killed Uriah, and then all of these things came about, he came to God and he said, God, against you and only you have I sinned, and I fall on your mercy. Sometimes God's love is all that we have. But more than that, when it's rejected, as great as His love, equal will be the judgment that will come upon those that reject that great love. Does that make sense? And so as Jesus is crying over Jerusalem, He's pleading with them. He's begging them to understand the love that He has for them, that He's not against them, but yet He truly loves them. Let's just read the text, and I want to get into some thoughts before we get into the meat of the message. In chapter 23, verse 37, He was speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, and in the very first part of chapter 3, he's talking to them, and because they have rejected Him, they're rejecting the Father, and they're just simply trying to entrap Him. They're looking for a reason to hang Him on the cross. They want to crucify Him. They hate Him. They've already rejected Him. But yet He keeps presenting His love to them. And in spite of the rejection, He's still going to the cross. You understand that, right? Sometimes we think that, well, if they don't want my love, then fine, they're not going to get it. Just makes it easier on me. Aren't you glad God didn't do that? Aren't you glad that God didn't have that same attitude toward us? But yet, in the chapter 23, he actually pronounces 8 woes to them. Is what He's trying to tell them. These woes is that there is judgment coming as a basis of your decision today. He's warning them. It's going to come at a great cost. But when we get down to verse 37, you know, some could say that, well, He just wants to destroy us. He hates us too because we hate Him. No, He doesn't hate you. In verse 37, He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more, till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When we enter into this text, I want us to think about something for a moment. When we talk about how much that God truly loves us, we sang about it this morning. We think about it when we read verses in the Bible. We think of it when we see the miracles that were performed. But here, Jesus is reminding them, as a nation, He wanted to love them. He wanted to draw them in. He wanted to draw them in as a hen gathers her chicks, to protect them, to cover them, to love them, to nurture them, that they will grow, that they'll be safe. You know, when we think about a chicken that's gathering her brood to her, she's not really the toughest one in the barnyard, is she? But when it comes to her chicks, she's willing to sacrifice everything, right? So we don't look at the power that she doesn't have. We look at the sacrifice that she's willing to give, right? We see that in mamas too, don't we, right? What's the old saying? Don't get between mama bear and her cubs, right? But the same way with every mama in every corner of the earth, right? Don't cross me with my children. Mama will tear you up, right? And that's kind of the saying at home too. The kids are out of line. I'm just telling you right now, you better make it right with your mama. Mama's going to tear you up. Dad's big and burly, but mom, she'll hurt you. Are you with me? Right. Because there's a great passion of heart there, right? I can remember my granny, man. When she was alive and we were younger, my cousins were always bigger than me. They were like 7, 8 years older than me, so I was a little scrawny kid, and they're big and burly. And I see my granny grab them by the ear and just drag them across the yard. And I mean, just squealing like little schoolgirls. I thought that was so cool. I just wish I could do that. But only granny could do that. You know why? Because you don't mess with mama or granny, whichever it is. Because there's a passion of heart that backs that up. Amen? We don't fight against that. We respect that. But here, the nation of Israel wasn't respecting the love that God was showing. And it broke the heart of Jesus. You know, there's something interesting is that while we watch the show of sacrifice, is the example that we gave of mama and the hen gathering her chicks, not always do we think that showing love is the best thing to do. Can we admit that sometimes as men we hesitate to show love because we're afraid we'll look weak? Yeah, you're not going to agree with me because we look weak, right? It's hard to be tough and show love. But yet, if we follow the example of Christ, we find out that showing love takes the greatest exercise of self-sacrifice and boldness, right? We hesitate to love like Jesus because I don't want to be double-crossed. I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be manipulated. I don't want to be taken advantage of, right? And so we hesitate, or sometimes we refuse to love because it costs everything, amen? But sometimes we want to regulate what I love and what I'm willing to give, right? You realize that's not love. That's selfish fulfillment. Are you with me? Jesus demonstrates to love will cost you everything. Folks, do you think that maybe that's why we're not loving the Lord the way we should? Because we're not willing to give everything? We regulate our love out of fear of rejection, fear of manipulation, fear that we'll be taken advantage of. But Jesus didn't hold back, did he? He loved fully, unconditionally, without hesitation, without fear, without prejudice. Jesus came with an open heart to all. So in this message, our goal is for today. I'm asking us to recognize the heart of God, his longing for you, his longing for us to be saved, and that his longing is to bless his people. So then for a moment, may we examine our own hearts and our attitudes in light of God's unconditional love. As we watch the love that he has shown us, are we also showing love in the same way? So that his love may adorn our lives, our testimony, and that as we share the love of Christ for others, the gospel message will go unhindered and it will be at work in everything that we say and do. May God give us the boldness that we will dare to love unconditionally. So Jesus has just cleansed the temple. He cleared out all the money changers. He cleared them out. He says, you made my temple into a den of thieves, and I wanted it to be a house of prayer. And so he made that happen. But then after that, we find him weeping over Jerusalem. First of all, this is a cry of a wounded heart. Do we care? Are we willing to take a moment and to take notice? In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, he pronounced all those woes earlier here in Matthew, but yet he reminds them the heart of God. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? God's purpose all along from the beginning of time has not just been toward Israel, but toward all of his creation, that he will draw us close to himself once again, conquering sin and restoring the relationship that was lost by sin. You see, his divine character is truly love and compassion. Isn't it sad that God gets blamed for so many things that he's never done? Would you agree? Isn't it sad that when difficulties and heartaches or even accidents will come, God, why did you do this? More than like that, thank you, God, for sparing what little I have left. Amen? God, thank you for using this situation to grow me closer to you. Thank you for using this situation to get my heart, my mind focused where it needs to be. Everything that God has done from the beginning is to present and to show his eternal love for us. Notice in verse 37, back in our text, in Matthew 23, verse 37, he said, "The city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it." He shows them that all along, God the Father has been pleading with you. He sends his messengers, we call the prophets. They've been preaching to you. They've been warning you. They've been calling out to you. And do you not understand that when God had sent them, he was calling through them and extending his heart so that you could understand? It would come from someone that is among you. You see them, you understand them, but yet the heart call come from God himself. So folks, when you hear from the preaching of the word that God is calling upon you to follow and to hear his love and to feel his love, it's not just me, but it's God calling you directly, amen? That's why we open the word, because the authority is in the word. The message is from God himself. We need to hear what God has to say, not our opinions up here. Remember Channel 11 used to have the soapbox? Do you remember that? I don't know. It was about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Channel 11, and it's between shows. And it said, "Now it's time for soapbox." We know what a soapbox is, right? People get on a box and they spout their opinions. That was back in the days when you could actually have an opinion and people not be all offended, want to destroy you and bury you somewhere. But they get on there and they talk about community things and the soapbox, and they give their thoughts and opinions. Sometimes they can be valuable if it's received well. But you know, unfortunately, I can remember they would do the soapbox, and then about a year later they would do the soapbox where they have a long disclaimer. The views and opinions that are given in soapbox have no reflection on Channel 11, and da 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 da. And they had their lawyer draw that all up, and it's just like, you know, I just can't have an opinion anymore. And then, you know, after a while, they just quit doing it. Well, I wonder why. Because nobody can have an opinion. You know why? Because opinions fluctuate. Opinions change with what we are. Unfortunately, opinions change with the days and times. Do you realize that with God's word, nothing changes? Perfection never changes. He's immutable. Do you know what that means? There's no mute button? No. Immutable means he is never changing because he's perfect. His word is perfect. His word is true. His word is consistent, and his word will never fail. And so as he calls to us, his heart never changes. He loves us. He sends his messengers. But we find that Israel would kill the prophets. They rejected them. They rejected not only the prophets, but they were rejecting God. They're rejecting his love. How sad that it is that we see the rejection of God continue to escalate, did it not? Now that Jesus has come, he's the ultimate expression of God's love. And yet they still have rejected God's heart. There's a quote that I come across. I don't know the source of it. It says, "If one poor soul, lost soul, goes to hell, he or she will go with the arms of God's love reaching for them." Isn't that true? Often I find people that are discouraged and hurt, and they feel like, "God just doesn't love me anymore." That's a lie from the pits of hell, right? God loves you right where you are. We don't always find ourselves where we want to be. Remember, go back 2 Sundays and you'll hear a message on that one. We're not always where we want to be, but God is always where he needs to be. Amen? Always. And he's always there, extending his love, extending his forgiveness. So secondly, we're hearing a cry of rejected mercy. Now in this, as we hear that they are refusing, he says, "Oh, I wanted to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing." How sad that it is his precious mercy would be rejected. Does it not stir you to anger when you try to love someone and they just throw it right back in your face? Difficult, isn't it? Starts arguments, doesn't it? Sometimes it breaks homes and marriages, doesn't it? It hurts. Would you agree? How does God the Father feel when we reject him, when we resist him? In Psalm 91, verse 4, it says, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." Why do we keep hearing about wings and feathers? It's protection. It shows that he's able to lift us up above the problems. It shows a covering that nothing can permeate. Often we confuse his protection with that of the things of the earth. His is impenetrable. Chickens you can crush, and they taste really good when you eat them fried. But can I tell you, the feathers of God is not KFC, but this is eternal. This is above and beyond anything that could ever reach us. A protection that will never fail us, but yet it's tender in its application. Do you see that? It's tender in its application because what is being protected is very delicate. And he knows how to balance the power with our delicate need because he loves us. I can remember at times when my dad would discipline and there were some strong hands that would come and play. But it always seemed like mom had a delicate touch. And in fact, there were even times as I got older that I got a spanking from mom and I chuckled. That was a big mistake because she had backup. And when dad come home and heard about it, I'm going to teach you how much a father loves you. And boy, he loved me because I got the point and I didn't do that no more. You know, it wasn't the discipline. You know, as it was interesting, he didn't discipline me for the problem. He disciplined me for disrespecting my mom. Isn't that intriguing? Because he loved me. He wasn't so worried about the problem. He was worried about the character of who I was becoming. Nothing lower than disrespecting the one that loves us the most. Amen? But how simple it is that we do that to the ones that have raised us and that are closest to us. Because we feel like we're an adult and we can do it all on our own. And we forget. Amen? Child of God, do we tend to do that to the Lord and Savior? Well, let us not reject that precious mercy. May we not also reject a patient mercy. 2 Peter verse 3 and 9. He says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. These men have rejected him. The history of Israel has been rejecting of God, and yet he is still lovingly giving them opportunity, lovingly giving them a chance to see his heart, to hear his heart. Why would you want to weep in front of those who hate you?" Seems ridiculous to us, doesn't it? Oh, it's just going to give them more to mock and scoff at. Jesus wasn't afraid because you realize what's happening. He said each and every time he expresses his love and they reject it, it continues to give them opportunity at his cost. Folks, I'm going to ask you, do we really love our community? Do you really love the people that you work with? Often we withhold the gospel message out of fear, don't we? Fear of rejection. Fear of being manipulated, fear of being made fun of. Do you remember the Bible tells us, perfect love casteth out all fear. Amen? Are you with me? Well, we've got some big shoes to fill, amen? They rejected a pleading mercy. In John chapter 5, verses 37 through 40, he says, "And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, him you do not believe." It's Jesus talking about himself here. "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." They were abiding by the law, trying to keep the law, but yet they're missing the fact that they can't keep the law and they need a Savior, and the Savior's standing right in front of them. He says, "For you think in them that you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." All of these scriptures that you've memorized from a youth, all of these scriptures that you continue to read, they speak of me and the love that we have for you, the Father and I. "But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life." Perplexing, isn't it? Perplexing how it is that when love is offered, it's so easily refused, but yet it comes at great cost. So my last point, the cry of insulted justice. What do we mean by this? He says, "Behold, your house is left to you desolate." He's warning Israel that there's going to come a time that you will reject for the last time. And this was one of those cases. He said, "This will be the last time that you have the opportunity." Now that was for these that were questioning him. It was pointed to them. His grace continues to be offered for us today. But yet even for us, there will be a time that will be a final time. We often reject or ignore God's word, but yet there will be a final time. And it's not that God will stop loving. It's not that his character will change, but the opportunity will cease. Do you understand that? God will always be loving. God will always, it's an eternal part of his character, but yet opportunity will cease. I want to give an example, and I'm just going to give it to you in story form here. Do you remember the parable that he gave of the wicked husbandmen or vine dressers, depending on what translation you read? A rich man, he had bought a vineyard, and he's going to move to a foreign country, and so he leased his vineyard out to this vine dresser. He said, I want you to keep it. I want you to dress it. And so he moves away, and he's gone for a few years. And then he knew there was time to be reaping a harvest in this part of his land. And so he sends back that he wants some of the fruit of his own land. And so he sends a messenger. Well, unfortunately, the vine dressers that were there beat up his messenger and sent him back empty-handed. They didn't give anything that belonged to the owner. So the owner was thinking, well, what can I do? I think I'll send another. Well, this time they beat him. They wounded him and they sent him away. So then the owner thinks, well, what shall I do? I know what I'll do. I'll send my most cherished son. I'll send him. Surely they'll have respect for him. Well, we know what happened, right? The son showed up and they said, hey, here's the son. And in that culture, if the heir of the owner died, then those that are working the land have a right to the property. So you know what they devised? We get rid of the son, this can all be ours. So they killed him. They killed him. What a sad situation, right? Drug him out of the vineyard. His own property that belonged to his father, they drug him out and they killed him. So what's going to happen to them? In the parable, it says, the owner will come and he will kill those farmers and leave the vineyard to another. And you know what? The listeners that were there, they said, oh, how awful that is. They protested. Oh, that's terrible. Why would he do that? He said, then you've done the same thing. You've done the same thing to all that God has sent you. The opportunities have been given to you. And he says, here I am standing before you. You're going to do the same thing to me. You know, when we look at that parable, the landowner could have sent an army. Wouldn't you agree? You're going to treat my men like that. I'm going to destroy you all. Well, what was he doing? He was trying to plead with them gently, wasn't he? But it was taken advantage of. Some would think that, well, what a tragedy that they killed his only son, his cherished son. Why would they do that? But yet there was a consequence that came with that, didn't it? When we hear the cry of injustice, an insult to God's justice, justice will still be carried out. Do you understand that? I'm convinced that in our society today, we don't really know what justice is. I cringe when I hear people yelling, we want justice. What do you want justice for? Well, we had this guy that killed someone, and we think he should go free. We want justice. Well, what about justice for the one that was killed? Well, we don't like them. We just like the murderer. Are you with me, church? We don't even know what justice is. We're confused because we don't know what love is. We have forgotten that God has extended to us over and over and over. And as great and as deep and compassionate as love is, so will equally be the judgment that comes to those who have rejected and rejected and rejected. But can I impress upon something else in this parable? That do you notice that as they rejected, their rejection and rebellion continued to increase and increase and increase until it completely led to their destruction? All the time, love was being extended. Love was being offered. How are we today when we deal with God's word? Can you hear the cry of God's heart today? Can you hear? In the end of this parable, they were so mad at Jesus, they wanted to kill him right then and there. But you know why they didn't at that point? Because they were afraid of what the people would think. Isn't that ironic? They were so concerned about what other people thought about them that they were willing to reject the eternal love of God. Aren't we kind of trapped in that today? Well, there's all kinds of compromises of God's word. There's compromises of who we are and our identity of who we are. There's compromises of moral living and ethical attitudes, biblical standards, that we don't want to be too stringent, but maybe we need to change with the times. We're more worried about what others will think than what the eternal God that we will stand before in judgment thinks. Is it sad that when we get to a point that we've heard the pleading, the love, and the compassion for so long that we've grown calloused and we just kind of block it out? Did you ever get to a point as you were growing up that you just kind of ignored mom? Oh, I thought I was the only one. But can I tell you, it still pains me to this day that I did that because I didn't realize the depths of what I was doing. How heavy will the heartache be? How great will the losses be when we come to realize that God has been calling out to us all along, but we've turned a deaf ear? We just assumed that it's going to be there tomorrow, and we didn't realize that the injustice, the insult to God's justice would lead to great loss. Would you stand with me this morning? Do you have a burden on your heart today that you need to come and pray? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? There's no excuse, amen? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He sent not His Son to condemn, that the world through Him might be saved. We blame Him for so many things that He never did do, but we neglect to praise Him for all that He has done. If we walk into a difficult situation, if we walk into a life of rebellion, we walk with a loving Savior reaching out to us. Are you hearing His pleads? Or have you turned a deaf ear? You can change that today. Remember my example when Dad got a hold of me? He said, now I want you to go back and I want you to show respect to your mama. Just beat me again. Do I have to admit that I was wrong? Yes. And how valuable it was. Amen? You can agree. You see where this is. We go back and we admit the failure so that healing can take place. A restoring of that relationship. God's ready to restore that relationship today. Where are you? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the love that You have shown us. We thank You for the love that You have proven and displayed through Your Son Jesus upon the cross of Calvary. There's no greater expression of love. There's no more that could ever be done than what You have already done. Lord, may we never sit back and wait asking for more, but open our eyes to see all that has already been done. Lord, help us to respond to Your word and Your love positively. Open our ears that we'll hear the pleas from Your own heart. May it break our own hearts for where we are. May it break our hearts to long to be closer to You once again. Maybe there's some that don't know You as their Savior and they're still struggling with that question of salvation. Lord, help us to answer that today. Lord, I pray for the believer that maybe to a point that they have forgotten that You truly love them unconditionally, fully, and completely. And that You're able to love us because of forgiveness of sin, because of the shed blood of Jesus, that You've made that possible. And if we'll simply come and repent and receive it once again. Lord, help us. Fill us with boldness with Your Spirit that we'll be willing to love as we have been loved by You. Lord, it's difficult in this day and age. It's hard. It's nothing that You have not already done Yourself and have displayed for us in Your life and Your example. Lord, we need Your strength. We need to understand Your love more than ever before, that we may continue to share the gospel message with those around us. And do so effectively. We pray Your blessing upon Jesus Camp that's starting this evening. Pray Your blessing upon all of those that will be speaking. Pray that You'll strengthen the youth that are coming. Keep everyone safe. Open hearts and open minds to Your word. And that Your Spirit will guide them to an eternal salvation in You. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We love You, church.